Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Saksur Unmilitam Yena Asmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sa Padantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevicha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Adwaita Gadadhar Shivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. Please mute your phone. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. If everyone can please mute their phone, which I may not have that. I can only speak very, very briefly today. I would have actually canceled it, but I had missed too many in the last month. I'm at the Boston Yoga and Chant Festival. It's outside of Boston in a convention center type setting in a Best Western Royal Plaza. And you know, it's kind of a marketplace for spiritual ideas and spiritual things. They have that, and they have something for kirtan, and then they have a big hall for yoga, and then they have an outside tent which accommodates other activities, sometimes lectures and things like that. So I came yesterday. They providing me with a hotel room. Very, very nice people that organize it. And, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people here. And, you know, I'm advertised here, so that's nice. It's devotee of Krishna. I went to the lady and I asked her, you know, how she found out about me. Because I had no idea. I mean, I didn't think I was that prominent, you know, in the yoga, besides maybe people in New York. But, and she said that she looked up Bhakti. Please mute your phone, please. 1 second. I asked her how she found out about me. Because I was a little bit kind of puzzled. I mean, you know, it's in Boston. I can understand if I was in Boston. And then maybe some people have. And she said that she looked on a website, and then she went to my Waves of Devotion website, and she was so impressed with the writing and teachings that she wanted to have me here. So I felt pretty good about that. And I went yesterday, you know, the Mayapuris did kirtan. And, you know, they're amazing. They're amazing. And they're very thoughtful. You know, they stand up now. It's very interesting. They're thoughtful. They really want to dedicate their lives to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spread Krishna consciousness and the holy name. So they're really thoughtful about their presentation, and I know quite a few of them well, and I was speaking to them. What was most impressive is that, you know, while doing all this traveling, they all chant 16 rounds, and they're really into their sadhana. And, you know, and they were sharing with me some of their realizations of how they chant and the depth of their chanting. So I thought that was really, really encouraging. And I met Connemarita. I have a very affectionate relationship with her since she was helping Seva Priya in Vrindavan take care of Krishnamayi when she was leaving her body. And she asked me today to introduce her on the stage. So that's kind of an shamdas. And then I got to spend a lot of time with Radhanath Swami. It was just so nice to see so many people coming up and saying, I read your book and it's changed my life. And so that was also just so nice. And let me explain to you a little bit about, and I have to save my voice, I think, for the program. A little bit what my plan is today. It's my drama debut. Which is quite an experience to prepare and learn the lines. So I'm going to try again. You know, I've been using mainly the Wednesday thing to present what I'm doing with drama as yoga. It'd probably be a 20 half-hour lecture, half-hour performance. And I'm sure many of you will get to see the performance. I hope so, eventually. Is when I do this sometimes, I'm speaking to you, who's a different audience than the people I'm speaking to. You have to speak to your audience. So this is just my basic plan, is to just tell the people that there will be a drama today and that it's my drama debut. Can even explain I'm a little nervous, which is true. It's always good to be honest with the audience, because although literally I've given thousands of extemporaneously, thousands of lectures without notes for hours and hours over 30, 40 years, this is the first time I have to be confined to a script, and it's a whole other experience. Not everybody really understood, drama as yoga. In fact, when I was lecturing in Salem, I guess it's a novel concept to many, when I was lecturing in Salem, someone came up to me and thought it was Dharma as yoga. But it is yoga. And there's a very, very rich tradition in India and I'm going to explain a little bit about that, a very rich tradition in India connecting the aesthetic experience called rasa with the mystic experience. But it's yoga, and I think first I'll just briefly describe to them what yoga is. Yoga is the method to really cope with the ego. And I'll do that with my hands, and explain how you have to get out of leading one's life and thinking according to the selfish impulses of one's consciousness, which come out in all that static. I'll show how yoga does it, and I'm going to explain also how drama does it. But then I'll explain the rich history that there's actually a Natya Shastra. And it's kind of like the history. There's always a fifth Veda. There's the concept that the Vedas, which mean knowledge, are too difficult to understand. They are too difficult to understand, and therefore, people will realize they always have to find means to express it. And there's a whole history. Even if people heard the Mahabharata, it's supposed to be the Vedas in story form, the Vedanta Sutra, the Vedas in codified form. Can you do? I just something happened to the phone. Are you guys still on? Can someone tell me if they're still on?
Still on, Maharaj.
Okay, great, thank you. So there's that sense, and there's a Natya Shastra. There's a dramatical Shastra. It's very, very intricate and very, very deep. And the story is that people saw that the people of this age were becoming egotistical. Pride, greed, and all these qualities, and they just weren't getting the message. So Indra, the god of heaven, went to Brahma, the creator, and he told the story. Brahma went into trance and came up with the Natya Shastra because he felt that people needed something more visible and audible. And therefore he said, this drama will therefore provide instructions to everyone in the world through all its actions, emotional states, and rasa. And what this rasa is basically its intense emotional experience. But when that intense emotional experience, there's certain what they call dominant emotions like tragedy or humor or romance or, but when those, basically what drama does is they recreate it so that the audience feels those emotions. But although they feel those emotions, the emotions are not connected to their ego. So it allows them to have experience without the ego. And experience without the ego is cathartic. It's very, very elevating. And it points, let me see, it points to the see if I wrote that someplace. Anyway, it describes how it points to that kind of spiritual experience. And then after Bart Mooney, then there were other transcendentalists that kind of honed into this point, mostly Kashmiri Shaivites. And they started to equate the aesthetic experience. They started to equate the aesthetic experience with the mystical experience. It's just something that says they just described the spectator is no longer felt in connection with the empirical eye. It is the power of abolishing the limited personality of the spectator who regains momentarily his immaculate being, not overshadowed by Maya. So they got into the mystical experience, which was basically rasa. So what this Bart Mooney did is that he was brilliant. What he did is he analyzed intense human experience, and he analyzed how they were created. Basically, there's a cause. The cause means what characters embody that experience, what's the setting that embodies that experience, what are the actions that embody that experience, what are the accessory emotions. And then he wrote a whole detailed science. It's very intricate, and I studied it with Waves of Devotion, how that's recreated, and then how, by recreating it, how the audience is able to have that same experience, but devoid from their own ego. And that would cause what was called chatmakar, a type of astonishment, a type of experience that kind of pushes one towards another a reality, and had some healthy effect on the conscious. And some were just directly related in that way. The duration of the aesthetic experience, one steps out of ordinary time and space, and most important, identity. The same obstacles that prevent one from enjoying a poem or drama are the same obstacles that maintain the elusive eye. So this was the idea. And then the drama, which I'm going to do, of course, is in the line of Sri Rupa. So what they saw is that the aesthetic experience and the aesthetic experience, that there was actually an existential aesthetic experience, that actually the ultimate reality was to live in an aesthetic experience. And that aesthetic experience, and basically, it's the yogic experience. But from this tradition, what was the yogic experience? It was Ishvara Pranidhan. It was devotion to the divine. So rather than just transcending the self with aesthetic experience, the aesthetic experience would represent the topmost spiritual consciousness. And therefore, this Rupa Goswami, what he actually did is he found that within the Bhagavatam, the stories of Krishna, that, you know, Bart Mooney had this incredible, Bart Mooney had this incredible, dramatical theory in detail. It's so intriguing, so entertaining. I mean, I did a little bit of it in the Waves as well. So he found that the ancient scripture of the Bhagavatam, which is the basis of the Krishna Bhakti, where it describes the love of the residents of this place, Vrindavan, for Krishna, completely conformed and embodied that aesthetic experience of Ishvara Pranidhan, of giving yourself fully to the divine. And therefore, he began to write dramas, poems, songs, and an intricate part of the bhakti experience would be listening to these stories with the right emotional maturity and with the right attitude. I know in Vrindavan, where I live, it's amazing. You'll see, you know, widows. I mean, they just wear simple white. They're renounced. You see sadhus, all kinds of saintly people who do intense spiritual practices. They'll be sitting and watching these dramas. So what I intend to do is to perform one of those dramas. It's a real new thing for me. It's almost like we consider a risk. It's a new thing. I'm going out on the limb and trying something new. But I'll let you know next Sunday how it goes. I don't have any more time than this right now. Okay, so I just wanted to touch base with you all before I go. Thank you, Krishna. Sorry it's so short.